It's good to be here. The time I relish most about this is when that brief moment between that second song and when I'm introduced and I stand. It's a moment that is far too brief, but it is a moment that I go from total nervousness to a calm and a peace. Because I fear when I stand behind here that I might not be able to deliver in my strength what the Lord has laid upon my heart. But that's where the calm comes from. We don't have to stand in our strength. We stand in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ when we do His will. So that's my strength today, and I hope that's yours. I'd like to invite you to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. And I'd like to read a few verses here, starting with the verse 20. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For when a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'd like to backtrack a little bit and take you back in time in my life when I was probably about, 12 or 13, and just starting to be, the world was starting to be expanded for me. Up until that time, I had not worried about too many things spiritual, not worried about too many things physical or the temporal side of life. Life was good up until that point. And as my world began to expand, I began to see what a difference it makes where you are raised, how you are brought up, what resources temporally and physically you may enjoy or do without. And I remember when we used to go to Arkansas and I used to visit my cousins down there, we would match each other physically and I was pretty good. Maybe a little bit better. And I would listen to how they went to high school and the sports they were involved in. And I remember that my oldest cousin was pretty good at basketball, starting five. And he played basketball all his years of high school. And they did really well. And I was impressed. And I looked at myself and my physical abilities in basketball, and I could hold my own, myself against him, and I wondered about that until I found out that my graduating class had 535 and his had 7. If you showed up, you played. But I began to look at life and what a difference where we are in this life. What impact it has upon us. And I remember as I looked at the neighborhood I grew up in, I began to wonder, if I'd been born into a family just a 2-3 miles away, what a difference that would make upon my life. Or I was born in Independence. Those of you that know Sugar Creek, it made a difference if you were born and raised in Sugar Creek. You were part of a select few, and they stuck together tight. They really did. Got in trouble, too, from time to time. But they stuck together. And life was different where you were born. What you called your own. And I began to wonder about that. It took a while to sort it out. And as I look at each of you that are gathered together this day, there's quite a spectrum here. economically, financially, your amount of education, social group you come from. Quite a difference. I know in the Philippines, I've been reading a book, and they have what they call a barangay. And it's a social unit. It's a strict social unit. And it's tough to break out of that structure. You belong to that group, and it's not right if you break out and try to join another. And you're shunned. And you're put upon. It was that way in Vietnam. It was that way in Hong Kong that I visited. And I'm sure a lot of Asian nations are pretty much the same way. You're born into that, and it's tough to break out. In the United States, it's not. We have a great deal of freedom breaking loose from the social structure that we find ourselves in, the financial structure. But as you think about that, think about Romans 8 and what verse 20 tells us, for the creature was made subject to vanity. All the weaknesses of man, we were made subject to. Did you choose it? No. Did I choose it? No. The scripture says, subject to vanity, not willingly. We didn't choose it. But we choose to be vain or choose not to be vain. We are made subject to it, according to verse 20, by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Who's him? The Lord Jesus Christ. He has subjected you to the station in life that you find yourself in because he hopes in you. He hopes to see a development, a building up, a growing. Now, if we skip on down to that last verse that I read, verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for. Now, when you think of a patient man or a woman or a child, what do you think of? Somebody sitting in a chair, just rocking back and forth, biding their time, waiting. Well, that's patience. But that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ wants of us. He wants us not to be idle, but to patiently wait out this life for the life to come. The life to come. I'm going to ask that you turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. How many are gardeners out here? How many plant gardens? Oh, come on, there's more in Missouri that plant gardens. I know those from Phoenix don't plant gardens. Nothing grows there. But in Missouri, we have fertile soil. We're blessed with it. Well, things grow in the desert, I'm told. I have yet to witness it, but they do. And we know about gardening. We know that soil is important. Let's start reading in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Now it says that some fell in different types of soil, doesn't it? Some fell in places where the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, and they sprung up, but there was no root, and they withered. Some sprung up amongst the thorns and were choked out. But some fell on good ground. Now, is that chance? Is that happenstance? Circumstance? What is it? If you go out and you sow grass seed, what are you hopeful for? that grass seed coming up, aren't you? And if you sow it at the right time of year, there's not much preparation. If you wait for the freezing and thawing of the earth, it produces cracks. And if you sow when those cracks are there, it falls in a good place, doesn't it? And you made preparation. You planned the right time. And if you take time to go out there and you rake, you break up the soil or spend a little money and verticut, what happens? You increase the chance of that seed finding a good place in the soil, and you increase that chance of germination. It's not chance, and it's not happenstance. But if you go out and just cast seed any time of the year without preparation, some's going to come up, but a lot is going to be wasted. It's preparation that makes a difference. That makes a difference. If we skip on over to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 18. Now in verse 3, the Lord said, behold, he presented something to you. He presented something to his disciples at that time. And in verse 18, he says, hear ye. He's going to tell us what it means. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, when you go out into the world, you have a belief, a firm belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have his image placed upon your heart. And if it's upon your heart, it should be a part of your life. And you should gladly share that joy that you harbor deep in your heart with those you come into contact with. But if you're like me, when you're out in the workaday world and it's fast and it's brisk, it's hard to pick the right time to present the word of Jesus Christ, isn't it? You have to rely upon that spirit that resides within you to tell you when the time is right to sow. If you pick the wrong time in your strength, fast-paced, according to this, it's caught away. Caught away. Sometimes, even when you pick the right time and you sow that seed, if that person is ignorant of what you are trying to sow and you cannot continue to sow, to develop, to prepare, to help them along the way, that ignorance will choke out that word also, that seed. It's caught away. Timing is important. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it. Time's right. You sowed the seed, somebody did, and they received it, and they saw that there was something there to make them glad within their heart. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That seed took root, or that seed germinated. But because there was no root in it, it could not sustain itself. The joy was short-lived on a stony place. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know people like that, don't you? I do. They have received that word, sprouted, began to grow. When they're in the right confines of these four walls or amongst brothers and sisters of like faith, if they are able to separate themselves from the world, continues to grow. But if they go back out and they rub shoulders with the world, with the thorns, with the things that are wrong in the world, they come up. And those nutrients that are a part of their soil's preparation, are divided from that good seed or those thorns that come up. If you're in the world, you begin to lose ground. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, why in the world, if this is lumped together underneath the classification of good soil, why 30, why 60, why 100? Is that the seed's fault? Now, I'm going to show you a few items. Rocks, right? Maybe quartz. Kind of pretty to look at. Hard. Would you call that a soil? I'm pulling these out in no special order. This one here is out of a part of my garden. And if you could look at that closely, you would see that there's all kinds of green stuff in there. There's all kinds of leaves. It's extremely wet and it's clotted. That's my fault. Last fall, I didn't plow or till those leaves into the soil, and it laid there on top of the soil. The soil that I tilled that did not have leaves broke apart, and it's perfect, and it's ready to plant. It looks great. And it's going to bring forth fruit. But this soil here is going to have those clots all this year. No way to work them out once it clots. It's there. Now, that'll be perfectly good soil next year if I tend to it and I take care of it. Now, if I asked Erica what this is, she's familiar with that. That's sand. That's Arizona. And she sees beauty in it, and I'm sure it's there. Do you see any correlation between this soil here, the sand, or the rocks? Things come up in sand for a while. And I'm going to pull both of these last ones out. If you were to look at this really close, you wouldn't see much difference. This is potting soil. And this is out of my mom's garden. And she takes care of her garden. There's not a whole lot of difference except for the moisture content. This is a lot heavier than what this is. But if you look at it, the humus and the way the soil breaks apart, pretty close. Pretty close. Now, if I were going to ask you, do you see 30, 60, 100-fold in this? Yeah, all soil. Is there any correlation between all five of these, from rocks to sand to clotted soil to potting soil to a good garden soil? Any correlation? All of them have silica in it. This exposed to the elements, to abrasion, over time will be broken down to become this. This with humus added to it, and other things that I'm not smart enough to know, will become good soil in time. They all have a correlation one to the other. But he that receives seed into the good soil is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Turn to, in your Book of Mormons, page 424, Alma, the 16th chapter. 424, Alma 16. And starting with verse 164. And this is a discourse on Alma to a group of people called the Zoramites. And he's telling them about seed. He's telling them about a seed planted within themselves. And he parallels that to the growth of a tree that bears fruit. Verse 164. And behold, as a tree beginneth to grow, you will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. You remember when you first came in to the Church of Christ? You first came to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what you wanted. You wanted that tree, you wanted that full growth, you wanted to be able to partake of that fruit. And now behold, if you nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, kind of like that clotted soil that I had, perfectly good soil next year, but not this year. And that's my fault. But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. Now this is not because the seed was not good. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ is good. All of you will testify to that. It is a good and a true seed. What you do with your soil makes a difference. Whether it finds itself on a stony place, a thorny place, or a 30, 60, or 100, it's up to you what you do with that seed. Now, this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable. But it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree, therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. It's not a once saved, always saved. That's not the case. And thus it is, if he will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof. What is an eye of faith? Now, if I were going to stand up here right now at 22 minutes to 12 and begin to describe to you the breakfast I had yesterday morning with a brother and sister, your mouth would begin to water. And it was good. It was on a croissant. Biggest croissant I've seen in a long time. It had a richness to it, a flavor, a lightness to it, but yet it had a body to it. And on top of that were scrambled eggs. Now the way I like my scrambled eggs is not dried out. I like them where they're still moist. My mom doesn't like to fix them that way, but that's the way I like them. Pat fixes them that way. Moist. Scrambled egg was there. And it had deli ham, thin sliced with no fat, tender. Probably about that much ham layered on the top. And that was all, was there cheese on it? It had cheese on it too. Is your mouth watering? That's the way the eye of faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. As you look forward with an eye of faith towards that fruit, your spiritual mouth should water for it. You should want it. You should desire it. And it's not a choice 30, 60, or 90. How much effort do you want to put into it? You want the 100%, the hundredfold. But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree, this is verse 170, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life, Because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word, patience again. Diligence and faith and patience. Not setting back, but doing something with it, being patient with this time, this life that we find ourselves in, and looking forward patiently to that which is to come. Soil preparation. Because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by, ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. Do you want a fruit like that? Sure you do. Are you willing to take your soil and do something with it? That's your choice. That's your responsibility. Verse 172, and you shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. It takes an effort. It takes a faith, according to that last verse. It takes a faith that you can almost taste and feel and be filled and thirst not with that fruit. That's the kind of faith it takes. It takes a diligence. You have to come back to this soil preparation, your soul's preparation, daily and hourly. You have to be diligent. You have to exercise. It says that a patience is necessary. What does that scripture say? That if you find your life in this world, you lose life to come. But if you lose your life in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, you find your life in the life to come. It takes a patience. It says that it takes a long suffering. You have to endure. You have to endure a great many things. My grandson is in the hospital having tests done. Each of you have loved ones that are sick physically. Each of you have loved ones or neighbors or friends, maybe unemployed. Each of you are subject to accidents, to injury, to sickness, even the physical death. But if you find yourself in soil preparation, if you take time to prepare not just the 30 or the 60, but to go for the 100%, what does the Lord Jesus Christ tell you? In spite of all these things that come upon you, in spite of all the pressures that are brought to bear, you may be as hard as that rock on the outside, but the pressures of this world will reduce you to sand. But if you have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have that hope of eternal life, desiring that fruit, you see your soil begin to grow. And no matter what this life brings, no matter what it holds, no matter what you endure, you build for the life to come. Not with just coming today to hear me speak. You come today to hear the word of the Lord. And when you go home with it, if you don't understand any part of it, you can call me or you can take time to look it up in his guidebook. It's complete. We don't have just one. We have another scripture. And together, they're the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I guess if we were going to compare it to gardening, you know, those that are good at it, we say they have a green thumb, don't we? What did Christ promise to all those that are His? What is that promise? What is that comforter? What is that truth that he said would abide and be with you? The Holy Ghost. You can have a spiritual green thumb, so to speak, if that Holy Ghost is a part of your day-to-day life. The choices that you make, you know, I worried about it at 12 or 13, how my life would be affected by the physical things that I lacked or had. But that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Yes, it's good to strive for an education, a good job, a profession. It's good to strive for a home of your own, a nice home, a good dependable car to drive, even a new one. It's good to strive for all these things as long as they don't detract from your soil preparation. If they do, give them up or pull back to a degree. Look to your soil's preparation. Your soil's preparation. To John, the 15th chapter. Now, this is about the seventh inning stretch for those of you. Do we need to stand up to wake up? It's pretty hard to stay awake. John, the 15th chapter. You remember the ice storm? All of us remember that, don't we? You know, before things began to green up, leaf out, before pollen became an irritant, before things really became alive, what's one of the first things you see in the forest, the woods? Redbud. One of the first things that really come alive, and you can pick them out at a great distance, and they're beautiful, and dogwood too. But this happened to be a redwood that I spotted. Or redbud, I'm sorry. And I saw some that were busted off from the tree. And they were alive and they were blooming. There's a certain amount of strength in each of you that even if you don't look to your soil's preparation, that will continue to bloom for a while. And there was a beauty in those red buds this spring. But what's going to happen to that branch that was broken off? It's not going to be there next year. Well, it'll still be hanging on to the tree trunk by a thin strand. It'll still be waving in the wind, subject to what the world brings upon it. But that beauty of the blossom will not be there next spring. It'll be dead. John the 15th chapter, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If you have made that decision for Jesus Christ, if you have entered in by that right way, baptism, the laying on of hands, the reception of that Holy Ghost, you have brought forth fruit by your choice. The Lord Jesus Christ brings it forth in you, but you have chosen that your soil was made ready. What's the Lord going to do for you? He's going to subject you, as said Romans 8, verse 20, to the things in the world. He's going to subject you to pressures, afflictions, sickness, maybe even death. Yours or a loved one's. He's going to subject you to everything that those out in the world are subject to. Why? Because he does not like us? No, he loves us. Because he has a hope in his heart for what you and I will become. That's where his hope is. Not what you are today, but what you'll become in him. That's what his hope is based upon. And he purgeth you. He subjects you that you will, what, according to that verse, bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The words of Christ, not mine. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. That red bud will not be next year. It's there for a time. But unless you abide in Jesus Christ and he is in you, there's no life in you. You'll bloom. To the world you look like Christ is there. But next year. Verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You made that decision that you wanted that fruit. You desired it and you prepared your soil to a degree. To a degree. And he subjected you to purging. Pruning. Getting rid of the dead weight. If you did not do it, you're going to be 30. But if you did, if you allowed yourself to be subjected to that of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that he has for you, if you allowed that, you've went from 30 to 60 and he has brought forth much fruit. Not of anything that is found worthy in you other than obedience from 30 to 60. He has accomplished it because he has a hope in you and he has a hope in me. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The world will do that to you. And even if you are gathered by men and burned, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, 100-fold, 100%, even if they take your life, as Alma and Abinadi witnessed, even if that was your child, that was gathered and burned, or your wife, your spouse that was gathered and burned, if they had the love of Jesus Christ in their heart, what did Alma reassure Abinadi? That they were with the Lord. With the Lord. Not gathered of men and burned and that's it, but with the Lord. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now you can ask yourself, why do we not have the healings that we stand in need of today? Why is there sickness? Why is there afflictions? Brothers and sisters, I don't have the answer, but the Lord Jesus Christ does. As we go from 30 to 60 to 100, what do you think the Lord's going to do for us? He'll support us or He'll deliver us. It's His choice. But sometimes we get so caught up in this physical world, the health of this physical body, that we lose sight of the health of the spirit, the soul, what is on the inside. The Lord Jesus Christ's hope is not in my body, 190 pounds of it. His hope is in my soul's preparation, my soil's preparation. That's where His hope is. And He may subject me to whatever, or you to whatever. And if you are patient, not idly sitting by, but patient in the Lord, looking forward to that fruit at the end, He will support and He will deliver. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You want to glorify the Father? You don't have anything in you except choice. It's the only way you can glorify Him. By your choice. By going from 30 to 60 to 90. By enduring what He subjects you to. You glorify the Lord. And you bring forth fruit, much fruit, and more fruit. And what happens? His name is magnified within your heart. What do others see? How you continue to smile and to bear up and to have a hope within you. No matter what you endure. They see that and they register that. And that sows seed by your actions. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You want to follow Christ? You want to be His disciple? Then you have to look to that preparation. It's not once saved, always saved. It's to that continual preparation. Towards that fruit. And your mouth should water towards it. Now, if I can remember which one is mom's soil. As good as this soil is, my mom and dad, when dad was still alive, they sent it away to be analyzed. And this is great soil. But they wanted to know if it could be better. You know what it came back? Add more humus. Mom and dad, I don't know how they plowed all the leaves into that soil they did over the years. It's got humus. You know, we're the same way, though. Unless we have humility in our heart, no matter where our soil lies in preparation, unless that humility is there within us, as was it Christ, we need more humus. We need to be more humble. It's never done. Never done. I had one more scripture. If I were going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, what would you find? Well, you'd find the gifts, wouldn't you? But later on, you'd find a description of the body of Christ, wouldn't you? As it should be. Some strong ones, good soil. Some that are middle of the road, some that are not pleasant to look on, some that are weak, or either one of these. But within the body of Christ, all these, this soil has silica in it. All you that are a part of the body of Christ have what in you? The Holy Ghost. A knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a soul within you. You have the hope of Christ that wants to elevate you. And the body of Christ, as it comes together, does so in strength. Great strength. Not puny. If you take any of these soils by themselves, as good as these are, they're better if these are mixed in. They truly are. They drain better. They're more erosion resistant. Brothers and sisters, we need rocks in the Church of Christ. People with a hard skull that are not easily swayed, but once they're convicted to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're here for the long haul. May not be quite as fruitful as this, but they're needed. Each of us have a part in this body of Christ. To collectively, we're going to bring forth fruit if we stay together in Christ. Now, in Sunday school, I caught the last part of it, but you were talking about the development of the Church of Christ, how in 170 years, we still have a whole lot before us, don't we? 170 plus years, whatever it is. We still have a whole lot of work ahead of us. And what's that going to take? Good soil. It's going to take people that love the Lord God with all their heart, their might, their mind, and their strength. That's your spirit. That's your physical body. That's your temporal wealth. That's your mentality. Everything that you are should be measured against how that furthers the gospel of Christ. First in your life, within the body of Christ. It's going to take a whole lot of soil strength within these United States, within this body of Christ, to spread the gospel. It's going to take sacrifice on this soil's part. But what happens? As this soil gives away nutrients, is it depleted? No way. We become richer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe not things of temporal wealth, physical strength, but spiritually, what are we? Made stronger in Him. A whole lot of work, not much time. Who's going to be a part of it? Nobody stood, nobody raised their hand, but within your heart, you make a commitment. Thank you.